السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ليس البر أن تولوا وجوهكم قبل المشرق والمغرب، ولكن البر من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتاب والنبيين وآتى المال على حبه ذوي القربى واليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل والسائلين وفي الرقاب وأقام الصلاة وآتى الزكاة والموفون بعهدهم إذا عاهدوا والصابرين في البأساء والضراء وحين البأس أولئك الذين صدقوا وأولئك هم المتقون. صدق الله العظيم. We have been discussing this verse of the Quran Sharif since the beginning of Ramadan. So just a quick translation again. Every day if we listen to the translation, at least we'll get some idea what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala expects of us. Who is a Muslim? Who is a true believer? Who is a muttaqi? All of us can lay our claim to be muttaqi, that we have taqwa. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, it is not righteousness that you turn your faces towards the east or west. I'm just giving you the literal meaning of it. But it is righteousness that the person believes in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He believes in the last day, believes in the angels of Allah, believes in the books of Allah Ta'ala, believes in the messengers of Allah Ta'ala. And then he gives out of that wealth which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given him, in spite of his love for that wealth or because of his love for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But he still gives. To whom? To the relatives. He gives to the orphans. He gives to the poor. He gives to the wayfarer. He gives to those who beg. Of course, all this requires a long and a lengthy explanation. When is it permissible to beg and when it is not permissible to beg. وَفِرْ رِقَاب And in securing freedom for slaves. وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةِ He establishes his salat. He doesn't just read his salat. وَآتَ الزَّكَاةِ He gives zakat. And they fulfill the promises when they make promises. And they are patient in difficulties, in hardships, in the battle. They are the ones who are the truthful ones, and they are the ones who are muttaqi. Now we have discussed very, very briefly the first part of it, which is وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ Iman billah. Hadith of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ The person who reads لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, he will enter Jannat. Now saying La ilaha illallah is again Iman in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Now if a person believes in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then that belief in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala cannot be completed without belief in Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the last and the final messenger. So if we are saying that in this La ilaha illallah, no Muhammadur Rasulullah has been mentioned, then it does not mean that without belief in Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Iman can be completed. There cannot be any Iman without belief in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the last and the final messenger of Allah, the greatest after Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Ba'd as-qada wuzruq tuhi qissa mukhtasar. But we are not going into that detail now. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that whoever believes in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the person who says La ilaha illallah, there is none worthy of worship except Allah, then he will enter Jannat. So we have taken it for granted that that is what we have said, And as a result, Jannat has been guaranteed for us. Whereas that is the key to Jannat. But then the key also has to have teeth. The key to Jannat is La ilaha illallah. But then we have to have teeth also for the key. And the teeth for the key to Jannat are all the other requirements of Sharia. The belief in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's angels, His books, His messengers, in the last day, etc., etc. Namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, the fulfillment of the rights of everyone. It is a complete package. It is not just performance of salat. It is not just the fasting in the month of Ramadan. Nevertheless, now, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself has said that the person will enter Jannat if he says La ilaha illallah with ikhlas. So the Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een asked him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Wama ikhlasuha? What is ikhlas? Now they were Arabs, their language was Arabic, yet they are questioning Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and asking that what is the meaning of ikhlas? So many places in the Hadith Sharif you will find that the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhum ajma'in, the beloved companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are asking him, what does this mean? What does this mean? Yet it was in Arabic language. And they were masters in Arabic. So it shows that without the explanation coming from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were not able to understand. There are so many instances. So they ask, what is ikhlas? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the ikhlas of La ilaha illallah is that it prevents you from indulgence in haram. That is the ikhlas of La ilaha illallah. That you will enter Jannat, but conditional, that it prevents you from haram. Of course, for every believer, final entry in Jannat is guaranteed. But to save oneself from the punishment of the akhirat, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says the ikhlas of the kalima is that it prevents the person from indulgence in haram. So here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if we have to just discuss man amana billah, as I said, we can go on till next Ramadan, we still won't be finished. But let us quickly take wal yawmil akhir. Now one is the last day with which we talk about, the day of qiyamah. Many places in the Quran Sharif mention has been made of the qiyamah. Many places in the Hadith Sharif mention has been made of the Qiyamah. And then the natural corollary after that is the Day of Judgment. That means the Day of Qiyamah will take place. All the signs of Qiyamah Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given. When Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam asked him about the signs of Qiyamah, then in one Hadith Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, أَنْتَلِذَ الْأَمَةُ رَبَّتَهَا وَأَنْتَرَ الْخُفَاتُ الْعُرَاتُ الرَّعَاشَ يَتَطَاوَلُونَ فِي الْبُنْيَانِ. There's no time to go into detailed explanation of all that. Nevertheless, many signs of Qiyamah have been given. Then the Day of Judgment itself, in the Quran Sharif, if we read the description of the Day of Judgment, it shakes the heart of a person. So then there will be this Day of Judgment. So this Day of Judgment is a belief of every Muslim. Now this is what we have to get across to those who disbelieve in Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the Day of Judgment, that without belief in the Day of Judgment, there is nothing to restrain a person from indulgence in fraud, in crime, in murders, in killings, in all these type of things where the person thinks that he will get away. If the police does not catch him, he will get away. So then what else is it that will restrain this person? The person doesn't believe in Day of Judgment. So he says that if I have to commit murder, as long as the police doesn't catch me. If I have to commit fraud, as long as the police doesn't catch me. If I have to steal, if I have to do anything that is from the crime category, as long as the police or my parents or my family or my friends, they do not watch me, they do not see me, then I can get away. And this is the reason why there is such an upsurge in crime. That all the police force in the world cannot stop a person from crime if the person does not have belief in the Day of Judgment. Without belief in a Day of Judgment, there is nothing to restrain the person. But when the person knows that if I get away in this world there is still a day of judgment, and there justice will be done. To whomsoever injustice has been done, that person will be given his fair rights. So when the person believes that I will be punished for my deeds and my actions, whatever criminal deeds I do, whatever sin I commit, whatever haram I indulge in, whether it is fraud or whether it is gambling or whether it is adultery, fornication and all the other haram, then in this world the person can get away. Somebody didn't see him. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is watching, so there will be this day of judgment on which he will have to answer for all his doings. This is something that makes a person so God conscious that even if there is a $1 billion gold diamond ring that the person has to find somewhere, then he will search for who the owner is. He will look for the owner because he knows that this does not belong to me and I will be questioned on the day of judgment. Any action the person does, if he believes in the day of judgment, then it is that he's going to be careful. Some people say that, and in fact this was the biggest objection of the kuffar, that when the person turns to dust, then how can he come to life again? So look at the Quran Sharif. So many places Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives example of how the trees, the plants, the vegetation, the crops, all these things, everything dries up, then one rain comes and everything comes back to life. There's great explanation in the Quranic verses. So if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, who created man the first time, what is it difficult for him to bring him back to life again the second time? He is the one who gave us life the first time. So what is it difficult for him to give us life again the second time? But the kuffar, this is what they say, that once you turn to dust, then how can you come back to life? It was very difficult for them to understand that. But we believe in this day of judgment. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his tarbiyah of the sahabas, of his companions, those people who were indulging in all kinds of sins and vices, they came out from kufr and shirk, and they were stealing, they were murdering, they were committing all kinds of crime under the sun. But he turned them to virtual angels. One of the things that was conspicuous in their lives was this belief in the last day. Belief in the day of judgment. This is what made them cry. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu is crying. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is crying before Allah ta'ala, seeking forgiveness, yet he had no sins at all. But he is teaching the ummah. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Usman Ghani, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and so many companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Tabi'in, the Taba Tabi'in, the great awliya of the Ummah. Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi, one day he is crying at the Kaabatullah, at the Multazam. And he is saying that, O Allah, if you have to punish me on the day of Qiyamah, first of all, he said, O Allah, forgive me. Now, he is a great wali of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. These people were not indulging in sins like us. But look at their khawf of Qiyamah. Say that, O Allah, forgive me. But if you have to punish me, then raise me up blind so that I don't get embarrassed in front of the other ummah is watching me. Now, look at their fear of Qiyamah. If you have to read the incidents of the fear that these sahabas and companions had of this day of judgment, then it just makes us wonder that they did not commit sins and yet they had this khawf of Qiyamah. Yet they had this fear of the day of judgment. Yet they had this concern that we have to answer Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. They were engaging in all the right things. They were doing whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had ordered. And yet they had such kind of khawf of Qiyamah. And we indulge in every kind of sin, and yet we smile, we are happy, we advertise our sins, we broadcast our sins, we talk about our sins, we are quite comfortable with our sins. What a world of difference. When it comes to the day of Qiyamah, then again it is just like the knowledge of the day of Qiyamah. But we do not have that firm faith and conviction. So these people, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that righteousness is that you believe in Allah Ta'ala, you believe in the last day. If we have to again discuss the last day, then there's so much on it. With regards to the third part of the ayat, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, believe in the angels, believe in the books, and believe in the prophets or messengers of Allah Ta'ala. Now again, each item here, there is great amount of explanation that is required, but we know that it is the fundamental belief of a Muslim that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sent down many, many books. However, the Quran Sharif is the final book of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Now this Quran Sharif we recite in the month of Ramadan. Again, I'm not going into the academic discussion that is found in the books and all these issues. But let us just, for the purpose of this audience, that the Quran Sharif is the final book of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It is the kalam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Quran Sharif is the kalam, it's a word of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Now in this month of Ramadan, Quran Sharif is being recited in the masjids, in Taraweeh. Quran Sharif is recited in our homes. Quran Sharif is recited throughout the world. It is a means of the protection of the Quran Sharif. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, we revealed it, and it is upon us to protect it and preserve it. So different forms Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has adopted of the protection of the Quran Sharif. Now one form is this recitation that is being undertaken. Now we have two views. Some people say that what is the purpose of reading the Quran Sharif when you don't understand it? If that had been the case, then our little children who are reading the Quran Sharif, our women folk, many of them who don't know a word of Arabic, who are reading the Quran Sharif, our men who are reading the Quran Sharif, throughout the world, the millions of times that the Quran Sharif is recited, who will recite it if there is nothing to gain in the recitation of the Quran Sharif? So the recitation of the Quran Sharif is a different issue, that even if you don't understand it, sawab and reward will be given for the recitation of every letter of the Quran Sharif. And this is something that makes a person read the Quran Sharif. Why don't you read other books like that as we read the Quran Sharif? But at the same time we have to understand that just the recitation was not the purpose of the revelation of the Quran Sharif. Just the recitation is not sufficient. Look at the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Man qara al Quran wa amila bima fi. The person who recites the Quran Sharif and he practices on that which is in the Quran Sharif. Now how can you practice if you do not know what is in the Quran Sharif? Now, before we used to say that how are we going to understand the Quran Sharif because it is in the Arabic language and we don't know Arabic. Or the tafsirs of the Quran Sharif are in Urdu or in some other language which we don't understand. Now Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala took that excuse away too from us, that we have authentic tafsirs and commentaries of the Quran Sharif in a language which is simple for all of us to understand. So we have no excuse that why we cannot understand the Quran Sharif. There will be masail there which you have to still find out from the ulama, from the scholars. But besides the masail, besides those matters which in which there are debates between the mujtahideen and the scholars, but the rest of the verses of the Quran Sharif, the great explanation has been given in the tafsirs. So we have no excuse that how are we going to understand it. So both things are required. You have to read the Quran Sharif also. You have to understand the Quran Sharif, because without understanding you cannot practice. And then if you understand it, then the practice is essential. Without practice you cannot get Jannat, you cannot get Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, you cannot establish in your life that which Allah Ta'ala wants us to establish. So the recitation of the Quran Sharif, the practice upon the Quran Sharif, and then the propagation of the message of the Quran Sharif, everything is essential. Now this is another subject, that the books of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the Quran Sharif is the only book in which there is no alteration, no change, no addition, no interpolation. All the other books, they underwent many, many changes, but that is a different subject again. But to get very quickly to then what should a person be doing in this world, besides the beliefs now, with regards to his wealth, where he should be spending, how he should be spending, how he should be earning, all these details which come in this verse, it is not just for reading, it is for implementation in our lives. Now this is something that we have to all understand, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He is not in need of our ibadat, our zikr, our tilawat. All these orders and ahkam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is so that our life on this earth becomes a pleasant one, a peaceful one, a happy one, where there can be unity, harmony. Once we establish in our lives the deen of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then our own lives will become happy and pleasant, there will be peace, and the whole society will enjoy peace. But because we lack true, firm belief in all these things which Allah Ta'ala has ordered, as a result, no person's life seems to be happy and peaceful. Nobody can sleep in peace and say that I'm quite secure, especially at present, because there is just one kind of rebellion against our Creator, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So pick up the Quran Sharif, take the translation, take the commentary of the Quran Sharif, and read this verse, and then look at the great meaning that has been given by the commentators. Then it will strengthen our iman and belief in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Somebody phoned me yesterday and said that, Maulana, give us some powerful wazifas. So I told the person that this is the powerful wazifa, that you make amal on these ayat of the Quran Sharif. Nevertheless, I said, inshallah, instead of going into detailed explanation of this verse, which can take the whole of Ramadan, we will be discussing some du'as, but wazifas are only supplementary. If a person only goes for wazifas, but he doesn't make amal on the teachings of the Quran and the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then he must not expect all those promises that Allah Ta'ala has made on the recitation of those wazifas. For all what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has promised, he must not expect all those promises to be fulfilled. Because this is our condition, that we just want some tasbih, some wazifa, some taweez, some zikr, and then we expect that everything will be in accordance with our wish and with our desire. Whereas it doesn't work like that. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make amal on the teachings of the Quran and the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. May He bless us with the barakat of the recitation of the Quran Sharif and with the tawfiq of making amal on the teachings of the Quran Sharif. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.